Good morning, everybody. This is Steven here. Today is another episode of The Urban Vibe, and today's title is Balancing School with
Life. Yeah, well, there's a lot that we are going to pack into this podcast today, so be ready for that. It'll be fun, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have Linnell, Vic, Steven, and Joanna.
Yeah, and we're just going to kind of go through, like Steven said, how we balance school and pretty much everything else in life. So most of us are involved in clubs, we're working, we have family obligations and different things like that. So there's a lot that we do. We're all in school full time, but it's not like our full time. We say like we're not doing it full time, or it's not the only thing we're doing full time. We have other obligations
and priorities.
Yeah. So I would say, like, for me, I'm a journalism major at DMAC. I'm finishing up my associates here. I'm getting ready to transfer to a four-year college. I also, like, work two jobs, and so I'm very busy with that. And then I'm a part of the Urban Vibe here at DMAC Urban. I'm a part of the Campus Chronicle in Ankeny. Both of those are student-run newspapers. And then I'm also the Director of Communications and Co-Chair of Marketing for FBLA at DMAC. And then I was just elected as Vice President of Communications for the State of Iowa FBLA. So I'm busy with a lot of different things. Those are just some of the things that take up most of my time, but I find other things to get involved in. I volunteer like twice a week at an organization, and like I said, yeah, it's hard. Like, I don't know if you guys, those of you who are also involved in a lot, like if you just kind of, I'm sure you guys enjoy all of it, but it can just be a lot. Does anyone else feel that way? I guess
we should have had you go last.
Yeah, because I feel like this episode ties with you the most. But with me, I don't have that, like, I don't do any clubs or volunteers here.
Mm-hmm.
But I do a lot of volunteering, like, at my church.
Mm-hmm.
Every Wednesday, I'm always leading the class. Sundays, I'm a part of the media team where we go live. So I'm always there every single Sunday, making sure everything's set, making sure everything is, you know, ran through and making sure everything's like ready to go. Work. I work one job right now, and it's good. It's good. Sometimes it does get stressing, and then I got school. So like you said, it's a lot of fulfillment, a lot of priorities. But like, it's what makes me active. It's like a habit. I'm able to know when I wake up, I have to do this, and this, and it's like I schedule myself.
Routines are really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I have, I used to work full-time at Amazon, but now I work part-time. So I work for the man when I'm not here. But I am a full-time parent with two special needs kids. And I'm also in trios and the Urban Vibe. So I'm doing all right, I think. I'm pretty busy. I stay busy. But I haven't been doing a lot of volunteering outside of, like, class stuff. If I'm able to do class stuff and volunteer at the same time, I like to do that. You know, I like to double up on time a lot.
You are involved in a lot. That is a lot that you have going on in your life.
Yeah, especially being a parent. How do you manage that?
Every day is different. I wake up in the morning. Their grandmother takes them to school, so I can come to school or I can come to work, so that really helps out. I wouldn't be able to do it without, like, family support. They're digging it. They dig me being in school, and I'm in school for my kids, so it kind of all just works out. They, even though they're six, they kind of have, like, an inherited understanding that mom is just busy. And it's something, like, I grew up to. My dad was a stay-at-home dad, my mom was the one that worked, so it's kind of, like, flipped. He's like a disabled vet, so that's all he wanted to do was stay home and like build cabinets and stuff. Very, very disabled vet stuff to do. But she taught me from a young age to like work hard and just keep going, and that's kind of just what I'm doing.
And I would have to say for myself, I do have a full class load. And my job, I've been a salon owner for the last 22 years, so I'm a little invested with that. I kind of flex things. I will work a little before class, come to school, after school, go back to work. I am involved in a couple of clubs. I would say that probably has been one of the most enjoyable things to me. Just getting my mind off schoolwork and work, and just doing something enjoyable. Volunteering, I feed the houseless every other Tuesday. I really enjoy that. So that kind of gives a little energy to my soul, just helping them. My family, I have adult children, so makes it a little easier for me to do these things and still not have to get them off to work, to school, or wake them up. It's actually reverse. My children make sure dinner is ready, or as I'm leaving out for school, my daughter would be like, take this burrito with you or this protein bar. So it's a little bit different on the flip side of having adult children.
What clubs, like, how do you guys figure out how to fit school into your, like, schedule, I guess, especially with studying? Like, do you kind of fit it around the rest of your schedule, or do you have to block out, like, a certain amount of time throughout your week, or does it vary day-to-day or week-to-week for you?
I'm actually the absolute worst at this.
That's okay.
Every single day is different, but I have a habit of flip-flopping my responsibilities. I am a single mom, but since I have my family's support, specifically with my education, I will literally, like, one day I will be full-time parent, don't touch school. The next day, my kids barely see me because I'm prioritizing basically school over them so I can accomplish what I need so I can get better for them later. And then the next day, like, sometimes I can, depending on the class, I can work with them, if that makes sense. If I can work at the kitchen table with them running around and being six-year-olds, because they are twins, I do that most of the time. But if that's not an option, I hide. That's what I do, and I get it done. And then when I'm not doing that, I'm working. So then I'm at work, and I double up my time by doing classwork at work, by listening, because there's a lot of online course content. I'm able to, like, listen to my lectures in my headphones while I do Amazon packing and so on.
With myself, my studying comes in. I either spend a late night up grinding. If not, I would go to bed early, and I'll wake up super early with a refreshed mind and just go at it. So I find myself studying and doing homework before class, early in the morning, and after class. And Sunday, religiously, is my church. So I don't leave the house on Sunday. I just get all my homework done, all my schoolwork on Sunday. So usually Sunday, I don't leave home just for school.
Yeah.
I say for me, it's like a puzzle, you know, when you put the piece, try to find the right pieces, the ones that don't work, you remove it and try to find the right piece. Tying that, you know, in this sense, whenever it comes to scheduling or even whether that be in school, work, or even church, like she said, I try to make it so they can fall into the right pieces. And if it doesn't work out, I'll take one out that I know would either cause me a lot of stress or would, if it caused me to be in two places at one time, then I will take the initiative to take one out and, you know, try to replace it with a different time. How about you?
I would say mine is very similar to yours. I kind of just, fit studying around, like, class times, work, and everything else. And sometimes that'll change each week. But honestly, I just try to find, like, the open windows that I can use for studying and, try to fit it in there.
Right.
So.
I have a question for everybody. Do you take your laptop everywhere? Like, sitcom level of everywhere?
I do.
You do?
Funny you say that. I do.
I've started to, minus when I go to work, because I don't want it to get, like, stolen out of my car. But I feel like I'm watching Glee or something anytime I'm carrying my laptop bag. I don't know why. I feel silly. I'm like...
So, actually, I do a lot of things on my phone. So, when you guys see me in my phone, I'm not texting. I am literally reading up on a subject or doing something on homework. So, usually, my laptop is in my phone most often.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty big transition, right? Because you were like, no computer, no TV, right? Before.
And it's still, you guys help out so much with that. I'm really hands-on. I like writing pen on paper. So, yes, this has been a big transition for me, which I like.
I say I don't, but I should, because everything is being digitized into technology.
Mm-hmm.
And most of what I do, which I'll be getting into, when it comes to if I'm not working or doing school, is I do a lot of like drawing and stuff. And I feel like it'd be better in my sense to take my work with me. That way, if I see something that I can incorporate, let's say a book, or incorporate into my sketchbook or something like that, it'd be easier rather than I see it, I tell myself, oh, I'm going to remember that, which I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
Tell myself I'm going to remember exactly what looks like, what color that was, until I get home and then completely forget about it. So I definitely think I should start bringing, you know, my work with me.
Yeah, I don't. But yeah, that would probably be good. Or even if I'm in between stuff, just to have it to get homework done, that would be, yeah, definitely a good idea.
I'm just scared, like, what if I misplace it?
Yeah.
And I lose it or something like that.
Well, that's why I don't bring it with me to the to work, because I do work in a warehouse with some shady people. Anywhere else I go, I usually take it, unless I'm going to, like, Walmart, Target, something like that. And I've noticed other people do, too. Like, you can even see people inside of Walmart and Target with a messenger bag with all their work there. And I wonder, is that, like, 21st century briefcase? Is that, like...
Could be.
A sign of a creative, like it probably was, like, in the early 2000s, like the Steve Jobs situation? Or is it our new, like, office people? Like, one of those productive people? I don't know, just noting.
Yeah, that's an interesting, like... Yeah, I never noticed that, but I guess it makes sense now.
It kind of fits in my life, because I don't even carry a purse hardly anymore. Everything I need is in that backpack with that laptop. Mm-hmm. So I kind of agree with you there.
I've never carried a purse just in general. So actually having my laptop bag with me has been so nice. This is not dropping all my stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm. It makes you look professional too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny you said that, because I work at a retail in the mall, and I do be seeing people, like, let's say I'm taking my break to go to the food court, I do be seeing, like, students or even adults doing their work, and I'm just thinking, like, you know, that's a good idea to get work done. If not at home, why not bring it with you where you go?
Yeah, I think for me, like, I just hate carrying stuff around, and so my bag is like a fanny pack or a crossbody bag, and I can just put the very, like, basics that I need into it. And so, yeah, I just don't like a lot of stuff on
you. You need one of those mini keyboards you can connect to your phone.
Yeah, true.
And then you'd be able to do anything from your phone, like Linnell.
Yeah.
Mini file sized.
Mm-hmm. It's great, though, that, like, you can... Honestly, you could probably get away without having a laptop and just do it on your phone. And I know someone who did that for quite a while, like, went through school without a laptop and just did it on their phone. So
I do a lot on my phone, and I have time, like, at the dentist's office, waiting in the lobby, or, you know, even transferring or going in between Urban and Ankeny. Mm-hmm. I still have, like, a little 5-10 minute window, so I'm forever pulling this phone out, doing some work. Mm-hmm. It's, like, the best thing ever.
Yeah, that's perfect for it. Do you guys ever experience in between work and school and studying burnout? Are you just kind of used to, like, this routine now, where it's just really a part of your life?
Speaking for myself, yes, I experience burnout. Sometimes I've had it, and then I'll just take a walk. Usually listening to music, walking, watching water, like Grays Lake is like my go-to, or any lake. I think just inhaling the air and just giving myself some time to think usually reset my mind of that burnout, and it gets me back into the game, gives me a I look forward to a date. Like, okay, I got 3 more weeks, you know, for this part. Mm-hmm. So usually that's how I deal with my burnout. I go walking. Mm-hmm. Something about nature just refreshed my mind.
Yeah, that's really good.
How about you? You guys?
I say for me, it's going to sound bad to say, but like,
no.
I like, whenever I do have burnouts, and of course, knowing that that's when you're supposed to rest, I just, my body won't let me because... Mm-hmm. It's like a pride thing. It's like I tell myself that that stereotype that, you know, how men have to work and everything. Like, I'm always just playing in my mind, knowing that it's a misconception. But, like, whenever I do try to, like, take that rest day or try to, you know, take a break, my mind tells me, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Get back to what you're doing. Get back to what you're doing. And so to answer your question, I say – not really, or like leaning more to no, but yes at the same time, because I feel like when I do have a burnout, then I mean I'm doing the right thing. It shows I'm being productive.
I enjoy everything I do, so I find joy in all of it. That's not to say that it doesn't always become a lot, because it can. And when I do my first, or when I realize that it's becoming a lot, my first reaction is just to be like, well, then I just got to persist through it and keep going, because I can't, you know, it is what it is. And it's very hard for me to step back and just breathe, or like you were saying, Linnell, just like, yeah, just breathe and enjoy some nature, step away from it. And I would say for me, it's definitely like, yeah, pride and a control thing. Like, okay, I'm overwhelmed with all of this, but I'm the one who has to control this and deal with it. Yeah, instead of like stepping back and saying, no, it's okay. So yeah, I wouldn't say like I experience it super often, but I do a couple times, I would say, throughout the semester. I'll just get to a point where I'm like, okay, this is a lot, and I do enjoy it. But I also, when my body's telling me I need to slow down, I need to slow down.
I kind of just trick myself to keep going. Like, main thing I tell myself is being uncomfortable isn't the end of the world. Because usually when I get tired and burn out, it manifests in me just being exhausted and back pain. Like, my neck hurts a lot, and I can, like, not move my head like a geriatric person. But when that's not happening, that's like, I have exceeded burnout and I'm going into like physical issues. But if I'm not hit that level yet, I just pretend it's not happening. I just finish my stuff because I know that I have a limited amount of time to get something done. Because I do think, me being a parent, I have that added benefit of if I fail, like there's 2 6-year-olds who are like going to fail. So I don't think, not to be like, if you're not a parent, you don't understand. But if you're not a parent, like, their lives, directly with how educated I am, depends on how good their life is going to be. And I'm the sole person responsible for that, so it doesn't matter how bad my neck hurts or my back hurts or how much I hate a class. I make it happen. Because that's my responsibility, since I've created life.
Something like, if the head's cut off, the body falls. So if you feel as if you don't excel, your babies
get the lack of it. And they also have to see it too. Mm-hmm. So when they get older, hopefully if I do my job well enough, they'll never have to work as hard as I do, but they still will always have to know how to work hard. It doesn't matter what stage of life or status they have. And I think it's actually very good for them to see me working, much like I saw my own mom working.
Yeah, because I feel like, I know I'm not a parent yet, but I do have parents. I do, like you said it perfectly, that the way you put in work is so that you can show them that, you know, first of all, nothing in life is free. And yeah, that, second, you have to, if you want something, you have to work for it. And whenever I see both my dad and my mom working for something just to benefit us, it gives me that motivation just to, you know, to work and work and work to show that, one, the things we do, the things we do not like, to get the things we do like, mm-hmm. and two, nothing in life is free, you know. And sometimes I do be feeling bad because I never get to see my dad rest because he's always up and up and up, even though he's at the age where he should retire. I still like to see it because it motivates me and inspires me to keep on going for the goal.
I think it's very important as a parent, but also just as a human, to other humans, to never ask somebody else to do something that you were not willing to do. And I'm not talking about ability. If you cannot do something, you cannot do it. But if you're not willing to get up and put the time in, why would your kids, why would your family members, why would your partner, why would you ask that of them? So that's kind of part of the way I live, at least. So I just keep going.
And speaking on working and the children, that's how my life has been. Mm-hmm. I've had my salon for 20 years, me and Pops. So the kids, my main goal was make sure they don't have to ask for anything. Make sure the lights are kept on. So I've always worked like 10 hours, 12 hours a day to make that happen. As soon as my last baby became an adult, I ran school. So even though I've shown them how working until your bones, you know, is just torn, you know, torn out, they can also see another avenue of things. Now, I want to go back to school and get my degree. A lot of people ask me why right now, especially with me having my salon. That has worked. It has worked. I have two kids I've sent through college. Now, here I am now coming to get my degree. Why I decided so late? Because there's some things I want to do, like start writing my books. And I have been writing them for, wow, 15 years now. But I don't think they have been creatively. You know, like, I want to put the formats together. So whether you do it before or after, it's never too late to go back to school and get degreed up. So that's where I am.
It just also goes to show that you can do it no matter how old you are.
Warren, what stage of life are you in?
I will tell you, one of the cutest things here at DMAC is I'll be working on something and someone will walk up to me and ask me, where's the class? Or I'm like, I'm a student too. And after we all laugh, they have become some of my best friends here. Because that kind of excited them. Like, you're what? I'm like, yeah, I'm a student right with you. So that part of, once again, that word, diversity. Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. I have a quick question for everybody. Do y'all think that, let's say, because we're all, we all want to become something or someone. Do y'all think that when y'all do achieve that milestone, that that's when you guys are going to stop? Or are y'all going to, like, how we're talking about burnouts and everything, how we know we're supposed to rest, but our body tells us to rest, but our mindset is telling us, no, go, go, go. Do you feel like once you do achieve what you want, that it's not enough?
I'll go first because mine's like kind of sad, but it's the truth and I don't like to sugarcoat most things. My body's like physically falling apart and the doctors say I'll probably be paralyzed, at least not able to walk by 50. And I'm 27 now. And I know I have these children. So right now it's work as hard and as fast as I can to build something before that happens. Because I know once that happens, I won't be able to continue like I am now. So right now, it just does not matter. The milestone is stability for children, and I got 12 years. So by the time it lines up to when they become college age, I can no longer like physically move. So I'm trying to line it up so they are set, and then they don't have to worry about nothing. So it's all kind of just like, that's the, I guess, like the meter that I'm running with. Like, that's my gauge, and that looks very different from most people's. It's just kind of is what it is.
Try and do as much as you can until you can.
Yeah. And it's all about the kids, man. That's just really, that's it. Like I said, it's my responsibility. I created life, so now I gotta deal with it. But it's just how it is.
And life takes so many twists and turns. Like, I was diagnosed with osteoarthritis at 23. And I was told I would need a hip replacement by 50. I'm 53. And I can do everything. You know, I just readjusted things. Like, I started giving my body what it needed to, you know, bananas, just a lot of potassium, just. So I would say, Do I think I'm going to burn out and stop? I think my mind go from one level to another. So when one thing tired me out, I refocus on something that builds me energy. And then I just teeter-totter. As far as the future, I set my mind on what I want. And when things stop working, I'll switch to something else. As far as my hip replacement, a couple of years it had me down. And I'm glad it only took a couple of years. Because after a while, I was like, maybe they're wrong. Been 3 years off and not needing it, they were wrong. So I would say stay positive, keep your eye on the prize. You may go way further than the next 12.
Well, I hope that it goes like that. Like, that's definitely a thought process. I'm just going to make sure we're good in case they're right.
What they say, those five Ps, proper preparation prevents poor performance. I like that.
Yeah, I would say for me, like, once I finish up school, that's just the beginning of so much. And I don't know my life without school. School has literally been my life, school and work, and I've loved it. But yeah, for me, I would say, like, once I graduate from college and after law school and everything, that's just the beginning for me. I won't be stopping, I don't think. Unless, like Linnell says, life throws in different twists and turns, and unless something like that happens, then... yeah, we'll see. But
awesome.
Yeah. I feel like with me, I really don't know. And that's the scary part, because I don't wanna spend or sacrifice so much. Cause like I said, I like how y'all are being honest with yourself. My body is aching, like it aches every single day. And I don't wanna, you know, go through all these pain and everything, which I do appreciate the pain, but go through all these pain to get what I want, and then knowing that I have to stop right there, and I tell myself, like I said, my mind tells me, no, keep going, and I hurt myself even more. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
It's a fine line you're going to have to learn. The older you get, you'll start to, like, literally, if you're talking about physical pain, during the day, you'll be like, I can do this, or I cannot do this, or tomorrow, I can't do that.
Right.
So, I think that's just something to do with aging. You'll start getting it. Just don't make it a goal to, like, retire at 27 or something. I see that a lot right now. It's kind of like a young men epidemic where they're like, if I can have $1 million by 27, I could retire. It's not going to happen, number one. And number two, $1 million isn't enough at 27. So just take your time. You're still pretty young. Don't be ruining your body over regular classes.
Well, y'all heard all our sob stories. Let's talk about the fun. What do y'all do for fun? What's a fun day look like for you guys?
Oh, I mean, like I said, I enjoy everything I do. So for me, that's just like fun, like the clubs, and even I enjoy working, and I love learning. But for fun, I would say, honestly, like this semester or this school year, I have a friend who plays D1 basketball. And so I went to, like, made it a point that I was going to go to every single one of her home games. And for me, like, that was fun. It was a good excuse to get out every week, too, and make myself have some fun. So I would just say something with friends. I love to walk. I love to get out in nature. So anything related to that as well.
I would say for me, fun. Me and my kids, we make up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We just had Galentine on Valentine's Day. Whatever, we just make up anything. One of my fun facts is I love hitting balls. No, mm-hmm. I love shooting pool.
Mm-hmm.
And just the sound of hitting the pool balls and able to direct them where you want them to go. So I usually... got a pool table in my basement. I usually go hit some balls. Yeah, I really enjoy shooting pool. So
I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is a mix between playing with my kids. They do t-ball now, so I go to watch them play. Or I've gotten them like a Nintendo, so we play Nintendo together. They're living like a very 1990s experience, early 2000s experience with the combination of making them go outside and play a Nintendo. And I'm there for that. For other fun stuff I do, I'm a big online person. I don't like to call myself chronically online, but I listen to podcasts. I do YouTube. If I can't read something in person, I'm using Audible. So I do a lot of content, entertainment. I like to learn. I think that it's really silly to not read or at least listen when there's like so many books. Like, how could you not read one once in a while? And then other than that, if I start feeling like super burnout, I'll make my boyfriend, like, we'll go out somewhere. We'll go like out like on a regular date downtown or somewhere in West Des Moines that actually, it's like a health potion or something. Like just the next day I feel better. Like I haven't been doing this. I don't get to do that very often. It's like once or twice a semester. So we're poor.
I'd say for me, I like hanging out with friends. I like doing things that make me forget I have a phone, because I know we are living in a generation where AI is taking over, technology taking over. So like, it's a necessity to have your phone on you wherever you go. But like how you said, how you want your kids to have that 90s, 80s, early 2000s experience. I like that a lot because growing up, we didn't have a phone at all. All we had was the sun, the street light, you know, when it turned orange, it's time to go back home. I like doing stuff like that because it just shows that no matter how old you get, we still have that inner child in us.
I think I was 14 or 15.
For me, I think I was 16 or 17 before I got a smartphone. Before that, I had a little phone with, like, the cards, like, the minutes. And it was just in case somebody tried to kidnap me. That was the only reason I had it. So, my kids asked me for a phone. They're 6 years old. Mm-hmm. I was like, no. but I had to think about it. Because it's like, when do you give your kid a phone now?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
So, it's kind of just an interesting thing. Well, being here in school, you kind of get to see all the advantages of tech. But as a parent, it's like a living nightmare that evolves constantly.
Yeah.
Well, I would have to say, I don't remember the age when I got my first kids. I was an adult. And as far as my children, I honestly have always thought of the phone and the access to other folks' predators getting to my kids. It was the devil's playground. I really didn't like it until, honestly, they got to go into places without me, like to school, or then there I was worried about them again. So I gave them a phone to have access to me. Whatever happens, call me. I'm going to drop whatever I'm doing to go. So for me, it was whenever they were without an adult, their dad, grandparents.
Yeah, I call all my kids as big people. They're like, they're trusted adults. Go find a big person.
Yes.
Not any big person. Your big person.
So that's how I did with the time in and the cell phone. Mm-hmm. As long as you're with the big people, you're okay. Mm-hmm. As soon as you're not around us, you need to have a way to get to us. So.
Yeah, it's really good.
What about you and fun stuff?
Oh, I said I
like the basketball games, yeah. But is there anything you do other than
just
nature?
Yep.
That's a good one. I started doing that. I used to sit on my patio and just talk to God.
Yeah, just finding time to like slow down, I think, is really important. So
around my home here lately, I've been hearing a woodpecker. I spend half of my morning looking for like, what is he pecking on? I know, just a fun fact, guys.
No, that is fun. Yeah. Yes,
I have never seen a woodpecker in action, so I'm really looking for them. Mm-hmm. Have any of you guys? Speaking of nature.
Right.
I haven't, but now that I think about it, I don't think I ever heard bird sound in a while. I don't know why. It's been a while since I heard those chirping, you know what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. I haven't heard that in a while.
Well, I have two trees, one right by my window and a bush by my kitchen window. And they have, I'm guessing, a few nests in them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you hear. And it's like, it used to annoy me when I was a child hearing birds like, God, I got to get up already.
Yeah.
Now, it's funny. It's music to my ears. Mm-hmm. It is music. And I'll just look out my kitchen window. through this bush and just see the family of doing their things. I really like nature.
Me too. It's very peaceful for me.
Very.
Yeah, like I said, when I used to be in my patio, just, you know, just talking to God, mm-hmm. I would see these animals like squirrels, birds, even insects, and I would just think to myself, like, dang, this is what his creation is. Mm-hmm. And like, it was peaceful for sure. Definitely peaceful.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we have for today's episode. Stay tuned for the next one. Once again, this is Steven.
Joanna.
Nell and Vic.
We'll see you next time.